Thursday, May 16th, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, if you are tired of the same old sports talk in your area, wherever you live, the same subjects again and again, hang out here. You're going to like it a little bit better. We try to talk about a variety of subjects, and we try to talk sports with a dose of common sense, which I think is desperately needed in the sports world today. Hey, happy Thursday to you, and happy birthday to former Buffalo Bills and, yes, Miami Dolphins running back Thurman Thomas. Thurman Thomas turns 53 years of age today. Now, I realize that Thurman only played with the Dolphins for one season. I just kind of like to throw it in there because I know how angry Bills fans actually get when they actually think of him in a Dolphins uniform. Hey, Thurman Thomas, though, was a pretty good football player. Thomas was a five-time Pro Bowler, and he was actually named the NFL's most valuable player in 1991. He rushed for over 1,400 yards. He also had 62 catches for over 600 yards and scored 12 touchdowns that season. That's a pretty good year for a running back doing everything out of the backfield. Thurman Thomas would have been really, really good in this era where we spread the ball out so much. He was playing in that Marv Levy system with the Buffalo Bills. Might have been just a little bit ahead of their time back then. Of course, we do also remember, you know, Thurman losing his helmet prior to the start of Super Bowl 26. But happy birthday to Thurman Thomas. Let's hope you don't lose your birthday party hat today. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite NFL running back of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosesports. You've got a comment, you've got a question, if you've got a suggestion, maybe have some feedback for the show. Maybe you need a little advice. We're going to actually hand out a little advice later in the show. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com, pick up some of the Daily Dose gear that is available over there. We do have new Daily Dose iTeam gear over there, but we've got t-shirts, we've got sweatshirts, we've got hoodies, coffee mugs, stickers, a number of Daily Dose items available over at tpublic. Make sure you stop by over there. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. We do have a few news stories that we need to get to in the world of sports. And then, as we do on many Thursdays, we are going to be taking a look at a few of the top sports media overreactions of the week. Got a number of those going this week. But before we do get to some news, before we do get to some sports media overreactions, like I said, we do get emails, we get texts, we get tweets here at The Dose. And for the most part, we get things that they are asking me about, say, a specific team, maybe a specific player. You know, I'll get like the, hey, the Pittsburgh Pirates are my favorite team. What do you think of their bullpen? Is there any way they can make the playoffs this year? And whatever. Okay, I'm cool with that. But sometimes we actually get some things here on the show that I feel I need to bring to the show. And this is one of those cases because I got something this week. It was a little bit different. Some advice was asked and it was kind of a challenge to me. I'm just going to have to read it because this is something that's a little bit odd. But here is the email that we got this week. Clint, I need a little advice. And you say you're good at handing out advice. Here's your chance. Okay, you're going to challenge me right off the bat. Let's see where this goes. My wife is going to run in the Fargo, North Dakota Marathon this weekend. I had no idea that was even a thing. She flies out on Friday. But in a devious plan to surprise her, I've arranged for my two older girls to stay with my parents while my two younger girls will stay at home and be watched by my nieces. So you've got four girls? So you have five females living in your house. I don't know if you have any sons or if there's anyone else in the house, but you have at least five females in the house. Wow, I don't even know how you're living. He continues, I found a flight that leaves Denver on Friday night and then returns the next day, but I want to surprise my wife by standing at the finish line when she crosses it. But I do have a few concerns. One, my wife will probably call me Friday night to speak to both me and my daughters to say goodnight, etc., except I'm going to be on a plane to Fargo, North Dakota. Two, I have no place to stay when I arrive in Fargo that night until the next day after the marathon. Three, my wife wants me to do some chores while she's gone, and those obviously are not going to get done. Finally, I need an idea for what I should write on a sign to hold up for her as she finishes the Fargo, North Dakota Marathon. Can you please help me out. This comes to us via Todd in Westminster. Oh my goodness. There are a lot of things to take in here. I mean, for one, again, you're married. You've got four daughters, five females in your house. Wow. And, Fargo, North Dakota? Really? Is that an actual destination? Do they have marathons in Fargo, North Dakota? I don't know. It's kind of weird. Okay. First off, let's think about a few of these things. And one thing that I would throw out there first and foremost, make sure there actually is a marathon taking place in Fargo, North Dakota. Because that sounds to me like a really odd spot for a marathon. And how can I say this a little bit discreetly? You don't want to, I don't know, show up and see a different sort of a big finish when you get there?
Oh, no, you didn't.
You know what I'm saying? Just be careful. Vet this process and this marathon before you get on the flight. That's just a warning. That's just a guy-to-guy warning. I'm just hoping for the best for you. But okay, let's move into this. Let's break this down. First off, you said you were a little bit concerned about your wife calling on Friday night. That's pretty easy. You put your phone on airplane mode when you get on the flight. You tell your wife you took your 15 kids or whatever to the movies. Maybe a little quality bonding time. You wanted to turn your phone off because you wanted to spend some time with them. That's not a huge deal. Hopefully she doesn't find that too disturbing. Maybe you took your kids out and did something with them. But you turned your phone off because you didn't want to disturb that father-daughter time. Okay, secondly, you say you have no place to stay in Fargo. Yeah, there's no way around that. You have to find a place to stay in Fargo. Now, I'm not trying to bag on Fargo. I don't know much about Fargo. But I'll go ahead and assume that the airport is little more than probably a cornfield with some tire tracks running through it. So you need to find a place to stay in Fargo. It's not like you can just go to the rec center and hang out there for a few hours. You probably need to go find a hotel. Go look up, I don't know, what's in Fargo? The Rough Rider Inn?
That's what she said.
Whatever. Book a room for the night and then you'll be fine. As far as the chores, I mean, you do have a few options with the chores she said she wanted you to do. Either you make your daughters do them or they're not getting done. It's that simple. There's really no way around that one. Now, as far as the sign you hold up when she's crossing the marathon finish line, that is a little bit tougher. Few different ways you can go with that one. I mean, you can go with something kind of jokey and maybe say something like, hey, nice try, but you're not Kenyan. I don't know, maybe she is Kenyan, so maybe that doesn't work at all. Maybe you want to say something like, you think this is difficult? I ate 26.2 sandwiches earlier today. Could always go with something like that. Perhaps you want to go with something simple like, if you'll go to Fargo to run a marathon, what won't you do to get away from me? Not bad. Again, it's another option, just something to think about. Or maybe you do something that reminds her a little bit of home. This says you are from Westminster in Colorado here, so maybe you just write something that reminds her a little bit of her hometown state. You could have a sign up that says, you run better than the Denver Broncos front office. Done. Hey, best of luck, Todd. Thanks for sending in the email. I wish you all the luck in the world. Hey, let's do jump into a little breaking news, though, and let's start off in those NBA playoffs as the Milwaukee Bucks win game one of the Eastern Conference Finals last night. They beat the Toronto Raptors 108-100 in a game that, honestly, I thought the Raptors showed way more energy than I thought they would have. After that emotional Game 7 on Sunday, they didn't come in flat. They came in and played pretty hard, but the Bucks got 29 points from Brook Lopez. They got another 24 points from Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the Bucks outscored Toronto 32-17 in the fourth quarter. But you know, the thing that I really saw in this game, if one of these teams from the East ends up facing the Golden State Warriors in the finals, yeah, I know we were hoping maybe the East would give them a run. Hey, these two teams had better depend on their depth a lot, because I'm watching them last night. Neither team has 1 ounce of half-court offense. They don't really execute much in the half-court. Everything they do has to be in transition. I'm telling you right now, Golden State will be a huge problem for both of them if Golden State can stay healthy and the depth doesn't come into play, because Golden State can execute in any situation. You want to run? Fine. But if you want to play half court, they can do that as well. And I don't see either one of these Eastern Conference teams being able to do that. We'll see if they can improve. We'll see which one of these two teams ends up getting to the finals. And we got to see if Golden State can get there as well. Who's healthy when they get there? But watching these two teams last night, I wasn't that impressed with the Eastern Conference. Staying in the NBA, they are saying the Utah Jazz are reportedly expected to initiate off-season trade talks with the Memphis Grizzlies about Mike Conley after they failed to make a trade for the point guard by the trade deadline back in February. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer reported this on Wednesday, saying multiple league sources are saying the Jazz are going to make a push for the veteran guard. Now, Conley, he came back from that injury season back in 2017, and he actually averaged a career-high 21 points this year, 6.5 assists, 3.5 rebounds. But remember, Conley was the number 4 overall pick for the Grizzlies back in 2007, and he still has 2 guaranteed seasons left on his, wait for this, 5-year, $152.6 million contract that he signed back in 2016. Now, that deal alone could be a trade deterrent, but you know, they're talking about Memphis possibly drafting Ja Morant, so maybe they would be willing to move Mike Conley. And with Utah showing some promise, I mean, they won 50 games this year, but again, they just can't advance much in the playoffs. Ricky Rubio is set to become an unrestricted free agent. So, I mean, maybe the Jazz would have some money. They could make a run at Conley. Now, for what it's worth, I don't know that I've ever seen a player get more money for doing less than Mike Conley. And I'm not saying he can't play. He can when he's healthy. One, he's rarely healthy. And two, he rarely wins. That's a really, really bad combo. But I mean, what else do the Utah Jazz have going? You might as well go make a run at a new player and see if that would push you over the top. One more story coming out in the NFL, and that is that the New York Jets continue to be the New York Jets. On Wednesday, they announced that they would be firing general manager Mike McKagan and have named head coach Adam Gase as their acting general manager. What planet are the Jets on? The Jets announced this decision on Wednesday in a statement by team CEO Christopher Johnson. The Jets also fired Vice President of Player Personnel Brian Heimerdinger. So let's think about what the Jets have done. They allow these two people to completely dictate the future of their franchise. Remember, they made that big trade to go get Sam Darnold, move up in the draft. They gave away 3 or 4 picks for that. And then they went out and signed Le'Veon Bell this year. They spent around $100 million in payroll in free agency. And then they fire these guys. You're going to let them build your house and then you're going to kick them out and try to live in it? I've got some bad news. That might have a real faulty foundation there. What this basically comes down to is the New York Jets looked at the New York Giants and said, wait a second. Oh, you guys think you're dumb? Hold my beer and watch this. You haven't seen nothing yet. Hey, between the Jets, the Giants, and the Knicks, honestly, it is no wonder that New York fans are an angry, vicious group. They have nothing whatsoever to ever be happy about. Hey, coming back with the NBA playoffs going, we do have a number of sports media overreactions this week. Did we actually see the luckiest shot ever this past week? Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you have a birthday coming in the month of May, and don't forget about Mother's Day in the month of May. Maybe you just want to buy something for yourself. You might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Nemesis. Dark forces are gathering in this month's crate. That's right. Your nemesis is here. Shake your fist dramatically at a collection of villainous pop culture gear featuring nefarious ne'er-to-do-wells. May's Loot Crate theme features items from Jaws, Ghostbusters, and many other franchises. But if those franchises maybe don't interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a number of different crates. And if you have a specific franchise in mind, trust me, they probably have a crate for that franchise. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, and you can always skip months if you don't like what's coming. Or you can just order individual items from whatever franchise you want, and trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, just as a little thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dose. So on a lot of Thursdays, we like to take a look around at the sports media world and just kind of see what silly things they might be saying, because a lot of times we know they say things they don't even believe.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
They're just trying to raise your pulse. It might be something that you disagree with. It might be something that you think, hey, that actually makes sense. On Thursdays, we like to look a little bit closer at some of the things the sports media world is throwing out and just kind of examine them and say, hey, does this make any sense? Or is this really just an attempt to get clicks, an attempt to get some views? Because what they're saying makes no sense whatsoever. Let's take a look at a few of the sports media overreactions that we have had this week. And with the NBA playoffs rolling along, yeah, we have had a few of them. But before we get to the NBA playoffs, we are actually hearing a sports media overreaction, at least here locally in Denver, where we are hearing that new Denver Broncos quarterback Joe Flacco should be willing to help rookie quarterback Drew Lock. You know, earlier this week, Joe Flacco was actually quoted as saying that's not part of his job description. And a lot of the local media here in Denver was saying, hey, Joe Flacco should be a team player. You brought him in. You signed him to a contract. You're giving him a ton of money. That should be part of the job. He should be a team player. Hey, he's going to be the starter this year, but eventually the Broncos are probably going to be turning this offense over to Drew Lock. Joe Flacco is a veteran. He does know what's going on. He should be helping Lock moving forward. Okay, first off, let me just ask a question and just throw this out there, and I want y'all to think about this. Do you really want Joe Flacco teaching Drew Lock how to be one of the most boring quarterbacks in the entire league? I mean, I don't. I understand. I'm all about team players, but go ahead and keep those little secrets all tucked into your little jersey, because I don't want to see you handing out the secret tricks to your horrible third down conversion percentage. We don't need any more of that here in Denver. We saw what you did in Baltimore. Please don't teach this rookie how to be that bad, because I've watched Joe Flacco for a while now and I don't want those lessons. Secondly, and I guess this is the most important thing. Honestly, I think Joe Flacco has enough to worry about. I mean, he's just trying to keep his job. Remember, he was just in Baltimore and he couldn't hang on to his job there. He couldn't hold off Lamar Jackson. We don't even know if Lamar Jackson can throw the ball yet. And Joe Flacco couldn't keep his starting job because Lamar Jackson took it. So I'm okay with Joe Flacco saying, yeah, I'm not helping this kid. I'm focused on my job. As well you should be, because we've seen you play for the last 4 or 5 years. Oh yeah, you need to focus all you can on the job at hand. And believe me, tutoring a young kid, yeah, we're not going to worry about that just yet. I just want to see if you can actually move the chains a few times. I'm not even asking for points. Focus on being a quarterback. Let the coaches be the teachers. And you know, one thing that's kind of lost, and I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here, but kind of a side note. If you have a young person in your house, maybe you have a young person playing sports in your house, understand this. There is a skill to learning by watching, not having to go do it. So if I'm looking at Drew Lock, I say, hey, Drew Lock, watch Joe Flacco. You don't have to actually go out there and do it. Learn by watching before you get in there. Don't go in there and make the same stupid mistakes. It is up to Drew Lock to become a quarterback. It is not up to Joe Flacco to make him a quarterback. And again, I don't want Joe Flacco teaching anyone about quarterbacking anytime soon. That's not a good combination. Moving over to the NBA, we have heard a number of opinions about the NBA playoffs. And once again, we hear this week from that screaming ESPN guy. But this time, he is telling us that Boston Celtics guard Kyrie Irving is 95% going to the New York Knicks. 95%? That seems pretty exact to me. What makes it 95%? Why not 93%? Why not 94%? And did that change now that the Knicks are not, in fact, getting the number one pick in the NBA draft? Is it down to 85% now? This feels like a prediction that your local weather crew would make. Hey, tomorrow it looks like we're going to have 30% chance of showers, and then we never see anything. We haven't seen rain in months. What are you talking about? This sounds exactly like that. And I would imagine that our screaming friend over at ESPN probably about the same thing. Kind of looked outside and went, yeah, I think I'll just go with this. I don't know that he has any facts to base this on. Here's a thought. What if no one goes to the Knicks? And I'm just lobbing that out there. I know They're talking about, well, Kevin Durant's going there. That's already done. Is it? Why would you go play for a bad owner? Well, if he doesn't go, and let's say Anthony Davis doesn't go, is Kyrie still going to the Knicks? 95%. Screaming man at ESPN, please stop talking nonsense. You know, I would be more apt to believe that Kyrie would pair up with LeBron and the Lakers rather than this 95% to the Knicks thing. You have nothing you're basing this on. You're just making up numbers. I'm not sure that holds any water whatsoever. Speaking of those Los Angeles Lakers, a number of people in the sports media world have said this week that the young Los Angeles Lakers players are going to benefit from new head coach Frank Vogel. And I actually think this is 100% true. Vogel is a very good teacher. He's going to ask this group to work very hard. But let's be real clear about one thing. I honestly don't worry that much about the young kids on the Lakers. Maybe that's just me. But remember, a year ago, those young kids on the Lakers were showing improvement. They were playing pretty hard. They were at least competitive. No. We need to worry way more about the older players on that Lakers roster, and one older player more specifically. Because how is LeBron James going to take hard coaching? I'm saying he's going to be pushing for assistant coach Jason Kidd to take over by, I don't know, Thanksgiving. Is that too early? Because I have a feeling LeBron James is going to be begging for Jason Kidd to be the head coach as soon as is physically possible. I don't think he wants anything to do with Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel is going to push his players. LeBron James doesn't like to be pushed. Frank Vogel is going to coach his players. LeBron James doesn't like to be coached. Frank Vogel is going to demand that his players play defense. Come on. Last year, we saw young Lakers players pushing LeBron James to check out and play defense. Physically grabbing him, pushing out. Hey, can you check that guy? Can you play a little bit of D? Come on, you're supposed to be the leader here. You're supposed to be one of the best players ever. We actually saw the young players do that. You really think LeBron's going to take coaching from Frank Vogel? Yeah, I don't think that's going to work so well. Yes, I think Vogel will help the young kids, but remember, Luke Walton was helping the young kids. What difference did that make? None whatsoever. We did also hear this week that after their Game 6 clinching loss to the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Western Conference semifinals, the Houston Rockets are never going to win a title with James Harden. And this is one of those big declarative statements that sounds great in the sports media world. But I mean, who knows, honestly? Yes, I think Harden's style has proven to be very, very tough to win consistently in the playoffs. But remember, James Harden and the Houston Rockets are having to face the Golden State Warriors. We don't know how long the Warriors are going to stay together. Maybe that all goes away this year. Maybe they lose a few pieces, and then the Rockets are right there. But I do think you can make a reasonably good case that the Houston Rockets have probably been the second best team in the NBA for 2 or 3 years, couldn't you? Now, is that window closing? Yes. No doubt about that. But I suppose that the Rockets could go out and maybe grab another piece or two and surround Harden with some younger players and make another run. I won't say never. I think it's unlikely, but I won't say never because you never know who could end up joining James Harden in Houston. You're telling me that if somehow the Houston Rockets were to lure, say, an Anthony Davis and he went to Houston, you're telling me things wouldn't get a little bit interesting? You're telling me if somehow Houston figured out a way to get Kevin Durant in a Rockets uniform, oh, you're telling me things wouldn't get real interesting? I mean, you can say that Harden's never going to contend for another title in Houston, but I don't know about that. Things have to fall the right way, but I'm not ready to say never quite yet. Of course, the NBA draft lottery did take place on Tuesday night, and we are hearing that this 2019 NBA draft class, hey, it falls off a steep cliff after pick number 2. Now, if you aren't the New Orleans Pelicans, or you aren't the Memphis Grizzlies, I mean, who even cares? And I understand that. I get it. Zion Williamson and Ja Morant both look like they could be very good players at the top of that draft. But you do have a few other players out there that definitely could be future stars. RJ Barrett does have a ton of NBA potential. Okay, so maybe you make it a top 3. But remember, Cam Reddish actually might have a bigger upside than RJ Barrett long term. But there are other players in there. I think Kentucky's PJ Washington, I think he's a legitimate NBA prospect. Do not forget about those two Gonzaga players, big man Rui Hachimura. He can flat out play, and so can his teammate at Gonzaga, Brandon Cook. And we see right now with the Portland Trailblazers, hey, Zach Collins is doing some things. So these two coming out, I don't know, I'd be really intrigued by those two Gonzaga prospects. North Carolina guard Kobe White, he is going to be the fastest player in the draft. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he can play, but I'd keep an eye on him. Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech, he has some major potential because he is just a baby. And he carried those Red Raiders to the championship game. So yes, Zion Williamson and Ja Morant look like they could be great, but there are always gems in the NBA draft to be found. There are so many times you hit on something very, very late in the draft and you find a surprise. But it is a matter of finding the right player for the right team in the right situation and the right system and the right coach, and a number of things have to line up. But remember, you can still get stars. Hey, no one had Donovan Mitchell becoming a star. He was taken later in the first round. No one was looking at him saying, oh, that's a bona fide star. Hey, Donovan Mitchell's a superstar. He was picked 13th overall, though. Malcolm Brogdon was a second rounder. That's a pretty decent player. Back in 2014, remember, everyone wanted Andrew Wiggins or Jabari Parker. Nobody wanted a big kid out of Serbia. So he ended up falling to the second round until Denver picked up Nikola Jokic. Hey, do your homework in this year's draft. Trust me, you will find players. We see it every single year. I know they're talking about this being a 1-2 draft and then that's it. Yeah, I don't buy that. You've just got to do your homework and find the right guy. Finally, we have heard this week in the sports media world by another person that talks way too much and never really has much to say, but we have heard that Kawhi Leonard's shot to lead the Toronto Raptors over the Philadelphia 76ers at the end of Game 7 on Sunday night might have been, and I quote, the luckiest shot ever. Of course, we remember Kawhi drove hard to the corner. He launched up that high arcing shot that bounced on the rim four times before finally falling into the hoop and gave the Toronto Raptors the biggest win in franchise history. But was it a lucky shot? Well, I guess my problem with calling Kawhi's shot a lucky shot is that you do sort of take away from the skill and the intelligence that it took to make that shot. And you also sort of let the 76ers defense off the hook there too. Because look, if I'm Philadelphia, I am doubling Kawhi Leonard and I am making someone else, anyone else, prove they can make a shot. Because when you are watching that game late, Toronto versus Philly, everyone on the floor for the Raptors looked like a deer in the headlights. They didn't want anything to do with the basketball. It was hot potato. It was get the ball back to Kawhi because we don't want anything to do with this thing. I don't want to shoot it. I might miss this thing. I don't want this whole loss on me. Give it to Kawhi. He's fearless. But then remember on the play when Kawhi hits the shot, Philadelphia, for one, they don't really do a great job of doubling him, but they also let Kawhi drive to his right, which is exactly where he wanted to go. And then Sixers big man Joel Embiid, he completely mistimes his jump. Like he jumped way too early. He was up in the air and back down before the shot ever went up. Was that just luck too? I don't know. I guess you can call it luck. Or was it poor execution by the Sixers? Because I have a feeling it was more that. I'm leaning a little bit more toward that. As for the shot itself, yeah, I'm sure that's the first time Kawhi Leonard has ever shot a fadeaway from the corner. Hey, dude already had 39 points when that shot went up. Lucky shot? No, kind of a strange shot. Really weird the way it bounced around on the rim. But you know what? I've actually seen that in a high school game that I was coached in. It was a free throw and it bounced around the rim like three times before it finally dropped through in a Sweet 16 game in overtime. I never thought that ball was going to fall. Finally, it fell through the hoop. So it's not like that was some weird, bizarre thing. I've seen it happen before in person. A really tough shot, a really crazy shot, a really memorable shot. Absolutely. Lucky? Nah, I don't think it was all that lucky. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we will, of course, be recapping the biggest news in the world of sports. And then we will be previewing the weekend in sports, let you know what things are going to be out there for you to watch. There are actually some interesting things going to be taking place over the next few days. Plus, we will have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you. You know you have to tune in for that. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts and the tweets. Thank you for the email from Todd. And best of luck as you travel to Fargo, North Dakota. Most of all, thank you all for sharing the show. It is very appreciated. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.